You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I am your host, Adam Miller, and today we are joined by Paul David Tripp, who is the author of many great books, including the book that we're making available to our listeners this month as a thank you for your support to the Songtime Ministry. If you'd like to find out how you can get a copy of this book called New Morning Mercies, you can give our office a call. It's 508-362-7070, or you'll see in the link provided an opportunity to make a donation of $25 or more to secure your copy of this great devotional called New Morning Mercies. Now, Paul David Tripp has written many great books on the subject of parenting and the subject of counseling, but all of his books center around a great theme, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we seek to set out our whole year to have that at the center of our theme, our motto is Many Voices, One Message. It's a great privilege to have him as our guest today and talk with him about his great devotional centered on the gospel, 365 entries, a full year focusing in on the good news of Jesus Christ. It's a great privilege to have Paul Tripp on the broadcast with us. Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, it's great to be with you.
Why don't you get us started by telling us a little bit about yourself? You've written about so many various different topics, including pastoring, parenting, and counseling. Can you tell us a little bit about what ties all of these themes together and what is at the very core of your writing?
Well, my personal mission statement is connecting the transforming power of Jesus Christ to everyday life. What I think happens is people really do believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they don't know how to live in light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. How does the gospel of God's grace affect the way I deal with my money or the sexual aspect of my life or parenting or ministry or middle age or marriage? So I'm always looking at something that we're all dealing with in everyday life through the lens of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That's what's so unique about your books, and it takes a completely different path from what is typically on the bestseller list and even the Christian best-selling list, often your Best Life Now kind of self-help books that pump people up and thinking about how they can have a better achievement in their own right, in their own abilities. Your books take a completely different perspective and a completely different path.
Yeah, and it's because my greatest problem lives inside of me, not outside of me. And the Bible names it. It's called sin. And if I had any ability whatsoever to escape the sin of my heart on my own, Jesus wouldn't have had to come. I'm not able to help myself there. I need rescue. And I need the rescue of the forgiving and the transforming grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's my message. I don't have the ability to get my act together. I need help.
Now, it's one of those areas where the gospel has become a very popular topic, even in a lot of preaching and a lot of books that have been published recently. And I think that's a great thing because we need more of the gospel. But I don't want to overlook the aspect that I think that many of our listeners, and for myself for many years, forgot to make this connection where we separate the idea of our salvation, the gospel to our salvation, being something that's separately different than our walk with God, our walk with Christ, and our daily living out of our Christian faith. Do you find that that's a common problem in making that false dichotomy of separating the gospel for salvation and the gospel for my here and now?
Yeah, I think they do. Let me give you an example. A good example is parenting. Most parents think if I set up a neat system where I control the behavior of my children, a system of punishments and rewards, my children will be okay. Now, the Bible says that the law is necessary because the law exposes sin and the law is a good guide for my living, but God's law has no ability whatsoever, none, to deliver me from sin. And the struggle that you're having with your children, the reason they resist you, the reason they say and do bad things to one another, the reason they're selfish or arrogant or whatever you're dealing with is because of the sin inside of them. And so as a parent, I'm not just an agent of God's law. I need to be a tool of God's grace. In fact, I've just written a book called Parenting about that, because I think people don't know that. Think about this. If you wake up every morning and you load the entire welfare of your children on your shoulders, and you think it's your job to change your children, no wonder parents are exhausted. No wonder they're discouraged. No wonder they're frustrated, because they're trying to do what they can't do. No parent has any ability whatsoever to change their children. That's not my job. My job is to be a tool in the hands of the God who has the power to change my children.
Now, the book that we're talking about today is New Morning Mercies, and it's actually a devotional that covers a full year of focusing in on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you tell us a little bit about what gave you the inspiration or the desire to write a devotional and to collect all of these different these different viewpoints on the gospel, bringing them together in this new book?
Well, you know, every morning I get up and I go to Twitter and I tweet three gospel thoughts in 140 characters or less. I do that because I think it's very easy, I think it happens to all of us, to become gospel amnesiacs, to forget who we are as the children of God, to forget the incredible things we've been given by the grace of God. And when you forget what you've been given, then you seek for help, you seek for life, you seek for identity outside of the gospel of Jesus. Your husband and wife has no capacity to make you internally happy. Your children weren't meant to give you identity. Your job is not going to give you a reason to get up in the morning, because all those things will fail you. So I started doing that for me. I know that I can be a gospel amnesiac. And as I started doing those tweets, I have maybe 135,000 people who read those every day. people began to say, these thoughts are so interesting and helpful and encouraging or confronting. It'd be wonderful if they were longer, a devotional. And after hearing that for a while, I thought, that's exactly what I'm going to do. So I picked out 365 of those tweets and wrote 365 fresh devotionals. And I named it that way because God's mercies really are new every morning. The Bible says that. And so form fit for every day is the mercies of my Lord. God has already in store mercies for me before I ever know that I will need them. And so I want people every day to remember who they are, to remember what they've been given.
Now, your theme for your book, New Morning Mercies, actually comes from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 23. It says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." And while we see this great passage here in Lamentations 3, this is a reoccurring theme throughout the entire Bible. So it must have been a real great joy and a lot of fun to put all of these different passages together that shows the greater picture of the Bible, which is the gospel. But I'm betting it's also a real great privilege and joy for our listeners to spend the time each day looking at that central theme, which is the gospel.
Well, yeah, it is. And the thing that I love about what that means is that you actually see this in the Great Commission, where God is sending out his disciples, and Jesus sent out his disciples, and he says, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. And then he ends by saying, and lo, I am with you always. God never sends me to do anything in my work, in my marriage, in my parenting, in my personal life, in my neighborhood, whatever dimension. He never sends me without giving me what I need to do it. And he never sends me without going with me. And so my hope is not in my wisdom. My hope is not in my strength. My hope is not in my righteousness. My hope is in his presence and his power that is with me every day. And my belief that he will give me what I need to do, what he's called for me to do, not tomorrow or not 14 weeks from now, but today.
You talk about being gospel amnesiacs, forgetting the gospel message in our day-to-day life. And we have a great understanding of the gospel message. We can lead somebody else through the salvation message and share with them how they can place their trust in Jesus Christ. And we're not doubting our salvation in that regard, but yet we still have this tendency to forget day-to-day how that gospel affects us. So I'm curious to find out what causes that. What causes us to lose sight of the gospel in our everyday monotony, our life here on earth?
I think a couple of things. I think we're just distractible. And, you know, you get caught up in a problem at work, or you get caught up in a disappointment of marriage, or you get caught up in all the multifaceted duties of parenting. You get caught up in a financial difficulty moment or something with your extended family, and that dominates your thoughts, and it distracts you from remembering who you are. I think the other thing is, maybe even deeper than this, is that the Bible teaches us that sin blinds. And guess who it blinds first? I have no problem seeing the sin of my wife and children, but I can be surprised when mine is pointed out. So what drives me to Jesus, what drives me to seek and to celebrate the grace that I've been given, is my sense of need. And if you lose your sense of need, then you quit seeking and celebrating that. I mean, you don't typically get an appointment with a doctor because you're feeling too healthy. It's when you feel that something's wrong inside of you that you seek out the help of a physician. Well, the same is true with the gospel. And to the degree that you minimize your sin, to that degree you will devalue God's grace.
I think that's why your book is so important, because it gives us that daily reminder of the gospel. And we have this tendency to lose it or to forget about it being at the core of everything, because we need that daily reminder that helps us to reflect on the fact that we are saved by the grace of God. And if it weren't for the grace of God, then dare go I.
Yeah, you know, the way I think about that is it's not my weakness that is my greatest problem, because the Bible says that God's grace is made perfect in our weakness. The grace of God is designed to deal with our weakness. Listen carefully to what I'm about to say. Our big problem is our delusions of strength. Because if you tell yourself you're strong, if you tell yourself you're wise, if you tell yourself you're righteous, then you tell yourself that you're able to live independently apart from the new morning mercies of the Lord. That's way more dangerous, because no one, no human being was designed by the Creator to live independently. Adam and Eve were immediately dependent upon God. I mean, the first thing God did with Adam and Eve is talk to them, because they had no idea who they were. They had no idea who he was. They had no idea how they were supposed to be living. Even in a perfect world, they were created to be dependent. How much more dependent are we that we now live as broken people in a broken world? So it's healthy to remind yourself of your dependency, because that sense of dependency, again, is what causes you to run after and to celebrate the mercies that you are given.
I think, again, that's a great reminder and a challenge for us to be in the Word on a daily basis, to have that quiet time, and to have a great devotional that centers on the gospel in all of these various different passages, because I think one of the reasons we become, as you put it, gospel amnesiacs is because we don't spend enough time in the Word of God. Because if we spent time reading Scripture, just Scripture alone, we would see the reoccurring theme of the gospel throughout everything. We'll see in the life of David, David, somebody who was marred by sin and constantly calling out to God for his mercy and his grace. And we see the same thing in the life of Moses. So in a sense, all of our heroes really point us to the true hero, which is Jesus Christ. And this is a great reminder of our own need and our own desire to have grace and new morning mercies in our life as well.
Well, sure. I mean, you could argue, and I do in writing, that there are no heroes in the Bible, but God. Everyone else is flawed. They're all flawed people. Abraham was flawed. David was flawed. Peter was flawed. Paul was a flawed man. And the message is that God takes broken, ordinary people and does amazing, extraordinary things through them. I mean, think of the 12 disciples. Who would want any of these guys to be a leader? Who would want any of them to be a pastor? But Jesus looked at those men with his restorative grace and knew that those broken men were capable, because of his grace, of doing extraordinary things. That's really the message of Scripture. Every person in Scripture is just like us. They're broken, dependent, weak people in need of rescue and the wisdom and strength that only God can give.
One of the things I really appreciate about your book, New Morning Mercies, is that as a daily devotional, it takes us through various different passages throughout the Bible, and yet it keeps at the very core and the center of that message communicating the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is why I think it's so important, is because I think we have a tendency as individuals to cherry pick certain passages that we like to read and see all these things that encourage us and uplift our spirit and give us almost a sense of pride in ourselves, as opposed to seeing the Bible in its entirety and seeing the very core of the Scripture. And I think that that's the challenge, and what is so important at keeping the gospel at the center is not losing that aspect of our own need for grace and our own need for mercy as well.
Well, I do think that the power and purpose of a devotional is that it becomes a guiding teaching tool for you. I mean, there are people who really do want to get into the Word of God, but don't know how to study a passage, don't see the principles, perspectives, promises that are there, aren't able, the way I would say it, to draw the gospel out of that passage. And in New Morning Mercies, I teach you how to do that, and also give you scriptures for further study, so you can learn to draw the gospel out of that. And my purpose in New Morning Mercies is not that you would say at the end, well, Paul Tripp is a wonderful devotional writer. I don't really care about that. My purpose is two things: that New Morning Mercies would raise your enthusiasm and appreciation for the incredible wisdom of God's Word, and that it would secondly ignite your love for and dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ and his ongoing grace in your life. Because the fact of the matter is, I'll just speak for myself, I need God's grace as much today as I needed it the moment I first believed. There's no such thing as any Christian who has become a grace graduate. We will forever need God's grace.
One of the things I've always appreciated about your preaching is that you are keen to remind your listeners and your readers that they are the one who has to preach the gospel to themselves. And I remember when I first heard that, I think you were saying that we as individuals talk to ourselves more than we talk to anyone else, and we listen to ourselves more than we listen to anyone else. And that is why we as individuals need to preach the gospel to ourselves, because we are our clearest communicator and our clearest individual who can pierce into those secret parts in our life to communicate to our greatest need. How does your book, New Morning Mercies, help your reader accomplish that and to put that practice of preaching the gospel to themselves into a daily function in their lives?
Well, it's rooted in this principle. I think it's why the Bible has so much to say about our thoughts, that as human beings made in the image of God, we don't live life based on the facts of our experience, but we live life based on our interpretation of the facts. We're always interpreting. You're always making sense out of your life. And so what that means for your inner conversation is that you're always preaching some kind of gospel to yourself. It could be the gospel of your strength, or the gospel of your righteousness, or the gospel that everything in your life is somebody else's fault, or the gospel of hopelessness, or it could be the gospel of God's presence and His power, His grace, His offer of wisdom and strength to those who seek Him. So it's very important to realize that you're in a constant conversation with yourself, and the things you say to you about God, about yourself, about life, about others, about identity, about meaning and purpose are profoundly important, because those things you say to yourself are formative of the words you say, of the things you do, of the choices and decisions that you make.
After writing so many books on so many different topics, I'm sure that you have covered a wide variety of thoughts and ideas, and many of them have impacted you in unique and different ways. But I'm sure that writing a devotional, going through so many different passages of Scripture and dealing with that one central theme, a reminder that His mercies are new every morning and our daily need for the gospel, I'm curious to find out, how did this book in particular impact your own individual walk with Christ and your own need to be reminded of the gospel?
Well, I think maybe every book I've written is in one way written for me. And New Morning Mercies, again, did two things that just reminded me of how deep my need is, that although I'm the writer of this devotional, I need it as much as anyone else does. And then I was blown away as I was completing the devotional at the inexhaustible nature of God's grace. When I got into maybe devotional 250, I wasn't running out of gospel, because the gospel is so deep and so rich. I said to somebody recently, I could sit down and write 365 more. It's not because I'm smart, but it's because the gospel is just that full. And I believe that 10 million years into eternity, we will still be celebrating the gospel of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in fresh and new ways. It's just that big.
I want to talk just briefly now about the two different types of people that are listening to our conversation now and are about to get a copy of your book, New Morning Mercies, as a means of motivating them to get a copy of this book and to read it and to take it through the whole year to really meditate on the gospel. On the one side, you have the individual who is strong in their faith. They're pretty proud, and they think that they don't need to hear the gospel on a regular basis, and they're wondering, why would I read something that's so elementary and so basic? And the other person is the one who's hurting and devastated and broken and just saying that there is no hope for themselves. How does your book really address these two very different types of people?
I don't think they're different people. I think they're the same person. I think at root, the thing that produces deep, paralyzing fear and the thing that produces arrogant, I can do this, is the same source. And the root is self-reliance. If you're self-reliant, you may not even know it. And you're now in a situation that you can't handle. You can't handle the emotion. You're confused as to what to do. You feel under attack and paralyzed. You're in that moment of panic and fear because you're now confronted with the fact you're not able to independently do what you think you should independently be able to do. And if you are proud of yourself and so confident that you look down on others, you're doing that because you're relying on yourself, and at that moment you're making it, and you're telling yourself, look who I am and look what I'm capable of doing. Both of those are very dangerous places to be, because the fact of the matter is, for the proud person, every thought that he has, every bit of strength in his body, every moment of rationality, every success is because of the power that God grants. And for that weak person who's feeling unable, they're just now discovering who they actually are. If independent living, proper independent living were actually possible, there would have been no need for the Christmas story. There would have been no need for the coming of Christ. There would have been no need for his righteous life. There would have been no need for the cross. There would have been no need for the resurrection. So I want to remind the proud person that they're not actually who they think they are. And I want to remind the weak person that they're not actually who they think they are, that both of them can live in a restful, joyful dependency on the Lord.
I know a lot of our listeners are probably worried about taking on a new devotional for an entire year. Past years of starting and failing have probably worn them down to the point that they feel that starting a new one is just a discouraging venture. But at the start of a new year, it's a great opportunity to start in a new devotional. And I think that what is so great about your book is something else that I tell our listeners all the time, that taste and see that the Lord is good. As you spend time reading about the gospel and reading about its implications in our life on a daily basis, it's going to be its own motivator for you to do it regularly. You might even have a hard time to keep up with the daily readings because you'll want to read ahead.
Yeah, I think this is a very honest devotional. I'm willing to confess my own need and struggles in the devotional, but if you read this devotional, you will leave every one of those devotionals encouraged.
We have been talking with Paul David Tripp about his book, New Morning Mercies, an excellent resource and a daily devotional on the gospel of Jesus Christ. A great resource for you, especially here at the start of a new year, as you can meditate on the mercies and the grace of God that are new every morning. And of course, if you want to get a copy of this book, we're making it available to you as a thank you for your support to the Songtime Ministry. You can find out more information when you give our office a call. It's 508-362-7070. That's 508-362-7070. Paul, again, thank you so much for not only writing this great book and this devotional that we're able to make available to our listeners, but also for your time and talking with us today and sharing with us a little bit more about you, your passion for the gospel, and this excellent book.
Well, it's been good to be with you. God bless you, what you're doing.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.